ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Working together as a community can be a chance to create something really exciting and lasting, and to build relationships that extend beyond the deadlines. You might bring to mind some of the bushfire memorials or gardens that people have built, or a large-scale arts project perhaps. But these kinds of big collaborative projects can also be challenging, not least in the way that they're run and the kinds of relationships they involve between community members and practitioners. Jade Lilly has thought a lot about how you can make these truly collaborative events, not things imposed on a community from outside. She's the co-editor of a book called The Relationship Is the Project. It's full of reflections and provocations for anyone wanting to work with communities. Jade, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks, Hilary. Good to be here.
Great to have you. And Adolfo Aranjuez is an editor, writer, dancer, and one of the contributors to the book. Adolfo, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me too.
Pleasure. Now, Jade, just quickly, can you give us a sense of some of the community projects you've been involved with that might help illustrate the issues that we'll be discussing for our listeners today?
Yeah, no problem. Probably the biggest example is when I had the pleasure of being the director and CEO at Footscray Community Arts, Australia's longest running and largest community engaged contemporary arts centre in the inner west of Melbourne. I guess there were multiple hundreds of thousands of projects that happened over that time, but really the whole premise of that place was around centering communities and lived experience in creating arts and cultural experiences that they really wanted to see. So just working with people, whether it was the Contemporary Pacific Arts Festival or First Nations communities on projects that were important to them, or artists with disability and presenting and promoting their beautiful contemporary artwork, it really depended on what people wanted to do and how we could support them to do it.
So as you say, it's not so much about the particular project, whether that's an exhibition or a performance or a mural or something like that, but about the way that the community builds that and generates that.
Yeah, exactly. And how you bring skills and expertise to that process to bring that project to life.
So what is a community in this context? Are we talking about geography solely or other factors?
It really could be anything. So it could be geographic, it could be cultural, it could be an age group, it could be a school, it could be, you know, a group of people who like to come around a community garden. Really, the idea of community is a group of people with a shared experience, which, you know, for every one of us means a different thing, and we all participate in multiple communities every day, whether it's our neighbourhood, our local environment, our workplace, our schools, our kids' schools, our friends, you know, theatre groups, whatever it is. Yeah, it's whatever that means to the individuals working in that space.
Yes, well, and anyone who's been part of a community group will understand what you're saying, Jade, that within that shared experience, there can be an awful lot of diversity. Adolfo, you write in your contribution about the importance of going beyond the surface when it comes to representation, so beyond just box ticking and quotas. What does that mean to you in practice? What does it look like when things are done well?
Sure. So outside of my own creative practice, I work a lot in the screen space. So I edited the film journal Metro for 7 years. I write film criticism and TV criticism. And currently I work at the Melbourne International Film Festival. And in that space, a lot of the conversations around art is, you know, around the importance of seeing ourselves, the ways that film or TV, you know, representations that are visual and the ways that art tell our stories, et cetera, can empower us. And that's all true. That's all wonderful. But especially in recent years, you know, I think corporations in particular have cottoned on to this idea. Nancy Long, she's a researcher from the US. She's called it identity capitalism, the ways that it is profitable for certain groups, so normally minoritized groups, to be seen. So in ads, you know, you have like people of different, yeah, skin colors, basically, or more diverse casts, things like that. And on one hand, that's all good, you know, in the sense that we, or like maybe young people in particular who haven't historically seen themselves in these stories, can feel their lives are reflected, can feel that their lives are normalized, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think the problem that we now face is that we need to go the step beyond just those kind of abstract representations into more material representations. And by that, I mean the people actually have the power to make decisions that, you know, they receive the the economic benefits, the political benefits of these kinds of representation. I think in the art space in particular, we love talking about the ways that art can do things. You know, art can change us, art can transform us. It's a beautiful thing to say, but and maybe weird to hear from an artist, but in reality, art doesn't really do anything. You know, it's humans that do things. And so by saying going beyond surface representation, I mean that literally, surface as in representational, you know, visual representation or the ideas, and that we complement that with, you know, actionable things, concrete things, where people's, you know, art transforms in the sense that we can make decisions.
Mm. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I often think about, say, big mural projects in regional communities or projects that grow out of natural disasters, where it's extraordinarily important that the community can drive what they want and need out of it. But also the mm-hmm. finished thing can create conversations and connections between people, as well as the process of making it. Adolfo, are there ever issues, I guess, how do you manage things if you are working with people who may not use the kind of language and ideas around diversity that you get in city-based arts organisations, but it's still obviously really important to make sure everyone's included, but you're also going, okay, this community has to drive how this project is run. Mm. How do you balance those forces?
Yeah, as you say, it really needs to not be outside in. You know, it needs to involve these people directly. I mean, studies have found, I've written about this before, and studies have found that it's actually not, you know, high-level theory, these kind of really highbrow concepts that change people's minds. It's emotion-based things. So I suppose the challenge for any, you know, people like myself and Jade advocating for these kinds of changes, these improvements, is to tap into the human element through empathy and reminding corporations, you know, who may want, and we see this again also a lot in recent years where corporations want to use minoritized individuals, well-meaning possibly, you know, to try to actually inspire change, but not really involving them in the decision-making, kind of using them as tools or as tokens for something. It's about, yeah, reminding them that these are people with actual lives, with actual needs, and that our experiences aren't just tools for a certain agenda to make money, that these kinds of representational moves about involving people and empowering people can make transformational differences in people's lives.
Mm. We're speaking with Adolfo Aranjuez and Jade Lilly, who are both involved in a book called The Relationship is the Project, which is looking at how you can truly collaboratively work with communities on things like arts projects. Jade, you write too about how, you know, if you're getting paid to come in and do facilitate a project, then there might be a power imbalance between you and the participants. But also you argue more broadly that it's important that arts practitioners know themselves, that they're quite self-aware before they go and work in a community. Why is that important?
It's really important that we understand what we bring to that experience and that we're not really learning on community time, so to speak. So if, for example, if it's the first time that we're working in a regional context and we've never been to that place, it's really important that we don't rely on the community to teach us and tell us about that place. We're supposed to be bringing skills and experiences rather than having an extractive approach to whatever that idea or project is. I mean, we know through research delivered by Creative Australia that 98% of Australians participate in arts and culture every day. So this idea that artists are one thing and communities are another, institutions are another, and, you know, community members are something else is just simply not true. We need to think about how we're all participating in creativity and culture and understand what we bring to that process as individuals, as artists, as producers, and also as community members ourselves.
I love that you're right. If you're building relationships that are transactional, then people see through that in a second. And yes, that seems extremely likely. Adolfo, we talked about the idea of practitioners facilitating these projects with the community. How do you figure out when to take the lead and when to step back and let others make the decisions?
A really important thing I would say in this regard is to not assume what a community needs. And so part of that is actually having, you know, meaningful collaborative conversations where it's reciprocal, where it's mutual, and, you know, really, really working to ensure that a power balance, the power dynamic is balanced, rather. So I suppose instead of speaking for groups, you know, you empower them to make, kind of contributions to whatever project that you're pitching to them from the get-go. So really involving them from the inception of the idea to the delivery of the idea, And then once you've delivered the idea, to then actually engage with them afterwards as well, so that it's not just a one-off project where it does feel like a box that's been ticked. You know, it's not just something that the corporation or whoever or the council can brag about as, you know, okay, we've worked with X group, then we're done. So yeah, it's that kind of, you know, ongoing, it's called a relationship. Like the title of the book is Relationship is the Project. And that's really what it is. You know, a relationship isn't just a one-off thing. It's not you telling someone else how to feel, how they can be in that relationship with you. It's about really catering for their needs and understanding what it is that you can offer them.
Jade Lilly, does the nature of the kind of gig economy of arts work make that difficult to sustain the relationships beyond the end of the project? I mean, it must be hard for workers who don't get paid that much to think about things in that longer term sense.
Absolutely. It tends to be why organisations have sort of more ongoing relationships in community engaged practice, if that makes sense, whether it's through a local government or a local arts organisation, or if there isn't one of those things in your local community, it might be through the school or it might be through a different type of group, the economic development area of your local council, for example. It is ongoing. It is important for people to be able to check in and check out from a community perspective whenever they need to. So having those ongoing relationships is really important. Not to say that those aren't developed by individuals, because of course they are. The relationships that I built through my time at Footscray Community Arts, I still engage, that this book is a perfect example of that. Adolfo and I met at Footscray Community Arts many years ago, as I met most of the people in this book through that process. And so those relationships continue. We get to do different things together. We get to do new things together. We get to establish new ideas and ways of thinking together, no matter if we're still in that sort of institutional context or we've moved on to a different context.
So, Jade, what if you look at the ultimate goal of these projects, and you've said it's about, you know, relationship building and community building, how do you know if you've reached that goal?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why evaluation is really difficult in terms of arts and cultural work, because it's a lifelong journey. We know that majority of people who participate in arts and culture do it for a few reasons. One is around connectivity, one is around health and well-being, and one is around the ability to tell and share stories, build culture, and this idea of cultural rights, which is the opportunity to not only participate in culture, but your opportunity to shape it. So we know that young people are participating in really different ways to older generations, but I think the research tells us that the two top communities are, you know, the 15 to 21-year-old group and the over 55. So it's one of those things that is a lifelong experience, which is why it's really important for children at the younger stage to have exposure to and opportunities to participate in arts and culture, and that spans all class dynamics, all regions, all places, and all people.
We're speaking with Jade Lilly and Adolfo Aranjuez, who have been involved in this book called The Relationship is the Project, about the bigger picture behind when an arts project happens in a community and how you make it truly collaborative. Adolfo, what are your thoughts on how we measure success in the longer term?
Yeah, so this is actually a key part of my contribution to the book. And it's really tempting in this current climate to try to measure everything. And we do love to measure everything. Numbers give us a really clear sense of an increase, an improvement. And to some degree, you know, it is a good way to understand how things work. So say, you know, a lot of organizations in particular talk about gender parity and using that number, you know, the magic number of 50% or over, to celebrate the achievement of representing women, for example. But if you really kind of pause to think about the way that numbers work, numbers are also, by their very nature, dehumanizing. You remove the human element when you see the number. And pausing to think about what gender parity means, you know, that 50%, let's say it's a company of 20 people, it could be the same 10 women getting the same opportunities. It could be the same type of woman. So let's say middle class, you know, white married women, for example, getting those opportunities. What about migrant women? What about queer women, you know, outside of that same 10? And so numbers do kind of distort in many ways what can be a really complex issue. And so I would argue that apart from numbers, which again help, but they are also limited, we do qualitative ways of evaluating. So again, back to that idea of conversations and evaluations, we can speak to the communities involved and say, okay, we measured numerically the outcomes of this project. We got 50%, let's say. Can you tell us how you feel about this? Can you tell us which parts of the project you feel you think we could improve on for next time? That kind of stuff. So balancing the quantitative with the qualitative really helps. And yes, this speaks to what Jade said about, you know, ongoing sustainable relationships too.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing when you come to a council who wants you to fill out a form about how it worked. But it's a fascinating discussion and a really interesting thing to think about. Thank you both so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. Adolfo Aranjuez and Jade Lilly. Jade's the co-editor of The Relationship is the Project, and Adolfo is a writer, dancer, editor, and one of the contributors to the book, which is out now.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.